सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। लक्ष्मणजी हैज रीच्ड भगवान रामचंद्र जी इन अ टोटली डिफरेंट मैनर। कैन यू हियर मी? ओके, बराबर छे। सेलफोन ट्रांसमिशन ठीक है, कोई बात। Funny thing is, it almost feels like there is a chicken or a somebody's cell phone transmission. That's okay. So it has been, you know, Bhagwan Ramchandra ji and Lakshman ji grew up in the same place, stayed together. But that right time to understand, assimilate, and even have the inquisitiveness to ask this particular question, wherein Bhagwan Ramchandra ji feels that he is in the right mode to receive. Lakshmana is in the right mode to receive this knowledge. So everything has its time for it to occur. Sometimes it's okay. You just now focus here. So sometimes we hear that there was this family that lived right next door to the Lucknow Chinmay Mission, where Guruji was the Acharya for very long period. And they did not, their family or their parents or them as siblings, they did not care for any such things. They were just like next door, literally next door in Lucknow, and they never bothered. They come to Dallas and they settle in Dallas, and their you know, the mother, you know, some, you know, being in a temple complex somewhere, listens to Guruji for the first time, and she vaguely remembers, are you the same person, like, you know, in that Lucknow area? And Guruji said, yes, I'm the same person. They said, I used to live, and Guruji also remembered her. Oh, you are that family who never spoke to me for about that many years. And it took this many years for them to, you know, get to that right mode, to even get that inquisitiveness to ask the right question. We can push so many things across. We are known for it, right? The Desi parents are known for it. We push a lot of things. You know, we have Chinese math, Aloha math, Kumon math. They're all around here only. So all these, we keep pushing. One thing that cannot be pushed is spiritual unfoldment. The call has to come from within. And somehow this layer of unfoldment happens in Lakshmana after that incident. And there that becomes the cause for Lakshmana to start inquisitively probing in to that aspect of life. Being very next to Bhagavan Ramchandra ji all through his life, that had to be the pushing experience for him to think about in this particular line. So he says in the fourth shloka,
Tvam Shuddha Bodhosi Hi Sarva Dehinam. Tvam Shuddha Bodhosi Hi Sarva Dehinam. Atmasyadhishosi Nirakriti Swayam. Pratiyase Jnana Drisham Mahamate. Padabja Brunga Hita Sangha Sanginam.
It's for the first time that he is addressing Bhagavan Ramchandra ji in this way. Many of us have been already introduced to Bhagavad Gita, and this kind of transformation happens in Arjuna, not in the second chapter. It's in second chapter he almost throws out like a challenge. Shadhimam tvam prapadyate. Consider that I have surrendered to you. Come on, try changing me now. When somebody throws a challenge, somebody who is asleep, you can wake him up easily. Somebody who is not paying attention, you can seek their attention also easily. Little more difficult. But somebody pretending to sleep, try waking them up. You definitely have raised children. So sometimes they get angry or cranky and they go. I don't want to, I'll go sleep. Beta, utho, come, eat. I'm sleeping. So there's this one kid who never responded. Mother was trying all. I had my itch. I said, let me also try an experiment. So I told that mother, do you know that whenever we sleep really into the sleep and we are not pretending, both our feet start flapping? Now this kid has, and then within like few seconds, his feet start flapping. Just to prove to us that, he is deep in sleep. If somebody is trying to fake his own sleep, you can never wake him up. So Arjuna, when he throws that challenge, it takes about 9 other chapters to pass by, wherein he experiences the 11th chapter of Vishwarupa Darshana. In that Vishwarupa Darshana, in the end, he confesses, Lord, this is the first time I've been hearing that you are God. I said, theek hai, rahega God, Krishna God, theek hai. I never took it seriously. But now is the time that I really realize that you are that God. And then he says, not knowing that you are Paramatma, what things I have done unto you, I feel very ashamed even standing in front of you. Ajanata mahimanam tavedam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Saketi. And you don't know that it is Paramatma that you are addressing. He used to call him like, hey Krishna. Are you Krishna? It's almost like a very informal, not even a cousin, kuch aur tha na. So, hey Krishna, are you Krishna? And sometimes he would even censure him by calling him, "Hey Yadava." So if you know the system, among the Kshatriyas, Yadavas are supposed to be of a lower cadre of Kshatriyas. They say, "I am the true royal Kshatriya. You are the fake Kshatriya. You are the Yadava. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava." Sometimes, "Hey Saka, hey dude." If in today's language I have to translate it. "Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti. Ajanata Mahimanam Tavedam." Not knowing all your glory and greatness, I have done a lot of things. Where he says, sometimes while eating food. So he must have done mischief, something like, you know, "Hey Krishna, look at there," and then grabbed something out of his plate. Or, I don't know if you have ever done this. I know I'm on record, but keep it to yourself. For something that was not my mistake, my parents scolded me and reprimanded me very heavily. And with pretty soon after that, my dad said, "Jao chai banao. Make tea." "I'll give you my kind of tea today." And after the tea was all boiled, instead of sugar, I added salt. The pure. "Now go drink this tea now." He's like, "What did you do?" "My bad, sorry." So he must have pulled such pranks on Bhagavan Krishna too. While eating food, probably while, you know, interacting with him, because he did not understand that it was Paramatma himself. And therefore he says, "For all these mistakes that I have done all through my life, Lord, I am really ashamed standing in front of you. All that I can offer now is my humble prostrations to you again and again and again. Please forgive me. Piteva putrasya sakheva sakyuhu. Priyav priyaryar hasi devas hodhum. Forgive me like a beloved is forgiven by his love. Forgive me like a friend would forgive his true friend. Forgive me like a father would forgive a son. Because all that what I have done, the way I have behaved, it's not worthy of being even in your presence. And still you tolerated me, and here I am with you. I feel so blessed. Therefore, I again offer my bhuyah namakritva." How many times? Sahasrakritva. Innumerable number of times. Because all that he could offer was himself in humble prostrations. But that 11th chapter had to happen for Arjuna to transform. And to such transform Arjuna was given the 12th chapter, which was Bhakti Yoga. Because even before that, if that 12th chapter was given, it would have gone flat. Sometimes we force our children also, right? "Aao satsang mein baitho, come sit." And they are in a playful mood, or they are not interested, and people tell about Gurudev, right? My dad used to go, or my grandfather used to go, and I was also dragged along. I did not understand or have a clue of what was being spoken. Now I wish I had paid attention to what was being said then by Gurudev. We come across such situations. So even our Lakshmanji has this amazing transformation. And he says, "Tvam shuddha bodhosi hi sarvadehinam." Lord, I hear about you that you are the one, that consciousness who is dwelling in every being, every form. Sarva dehinam, akhila dehinam. Atmasya dhishaha asi nirakriti hi swayam. Though you are dwelling in and through everybody, you, by your innate nature, you are formless. Nirakriti hi swayam. That is your inherent nature. Pratiyase Jnana Drisham Mahamate, they say that Pratiyase, that we can see, we can experience you. The true experience of oneness with you can be experienced only when you have Jnana Drisham Mahamate. Hey Mahamate, the greatest one. Mahamate does not mean that, you know, the one who has big head. Almost feels like you are censuring somebody. It is Mahamate, oh big one, oh great one. Only with the eye of wisdom that one can know you. Padabja Bringa Bringahita Sangha Sanginam. And the devotees are attached to your feet, like the lotus is constantly hovered around by the Bringa. Bringa, the bumblebee. Similarly, all these devotees hover around your feet, to such holy feet of yours, which is the very incarnation of that formless right in front of me. I offer myself humbly unto you. And that is where the word namaste is very beautiful in its depth and meaning. See, when there is a sentence to be formed, what are you all doing right now? If that be the example, what are you doing right now? Supposed to be listening. There's a lot of things happening. You're listening, you're seeing, you're processing, you're thinking. There's a lot happening. The one main thing is you're listening. But you did not say it in a complete sentence. What did you say? Listening. It was implied. If you have to put it in a sentence, I am listening. So there is a doer, there is a process of doing, and action is indicated. But in the word namaste, there are two words mixed. Namaha te. Namaha, namaskaraha. The prostrations or salutations is offered. Te, unto you it has been offered. The one who is offering is not important. Therefore, there is no maya or, aham namaskaram karomi or maya namaskaraha kritaha. There is nothing of the individual there. It is just you who are important. The salutations that is being offered to you is important. Therefore, namaha te. Who is offering it? Insignificant. So, in that attitude, he says, I have been there with you all along, O Lord. And today is when I feel that intensely, that you are that which I have been hearing through Vishwamitra, Vasishta and various other rishis. When they come with their eyes filled with tears when they see you. I used to say, probably Lakshmanji thought, if I put myself in Lakshmanji's shoes, aage ek aur sentimental. There is one more sentimental person who has come. Rona dhona, okay, I am ready with my Kleenex. Next. But today I really feel, Lord, that whatever is the intensity that they felt, I also feel today. And with that, it's just the salutations offered to you. Tvam shuddha bodho sahi sarva dehi naam Atmasya dhishosi nirakrati svayam Pratiyase jnana drisham mahamate Pajabda bringahita sangha sanginam. Having thus poured out his heart, he now truly says that, Lord, so far you have accepted me as your comrade, your brother, various things. But today I stand in front of you as your sishya, as your disciple. Please accept me as your disciple. So a significant shloka, the fifth one, he says,
अहं प्रपन्नोऽस्मि पदाम्बुजं प्रभो भवापवर्गं तव योगिभावितम् तथाञ्जसाज्ञानमपारवारिधिं
यथाञ्जसा
सुखं तरिष्यामि तथानुषाधिमाम् अहं प्रपन्नः अस्मि. प्रपन्नः, आई एम टेकिंग रेफ्यूज और शेल्टर एट योर फीट.
इट्स ऑलमोस्ट सिमिलरली द सेम वर्ड दैट इवन अर्जुन यूज्ड, शाधि माम त्वाम प्रपन्नम. ये बोथ वर्ड्स आर यूज, शाधि अनुशाधि माम इन द लास्ट सेंटेंस एंड प्रपन्नः अस्मि.
Today I come in front of you, Lord, not as your brother, not as your commanding general or nothing of that relation, but I am coming here as a sincere student of Vedanta. I am offering myself at your feet like your student. One may be able to offer oneself at his feet. Are you accepted? You may fling yourself at his feet, but are you accepted? So he is looking eagerly. Lord, you have accepted me as a brother. You have accepted me as your various other things that I have related with you. But I have never related with you as a student. I do want to learn. And why do I offer? Because they say, Bhavapavargam tava yogi bhavitam. They say that all these yogis contemplate on your feet to get beyond the limitations of samsara. Therefore, I am also offering myself to do what? Yatha anjasa ajnana apara varidhim. To get beyond easily. What I like about Lakshmana's plea is, I've tried various methods. They seem to be very difficult. But what I want is anjasa. Anjasa is easy method. Like Gurudev's motto for Chinmay Mission. What is the motto? No. Maximum happiness to maximum people for maximum time. If I may add, the shortest possible, easiest. So he is also asking anjasa, because apara varadhim, boundless is the ajnana varadhi, the oceans of ajnana. It doesn't have a bound. Why do you care for getting beyond this ajnana? Sukham tarishyami yatha anushadhi maam. Sukham tarishyami. I want to experience that which is beyond the ignorance and that which is throbbing with bliss. If that is a possibility, I want to be there. And I've heard that all these rishis and great masters have meditated upon your feet to reach there. And you have helped them. Won't you help me? I don't know if I'm qualified enough to be your student. Just to redefine words here, we keep using these two words of devotee and a disciple. There are different references. I am defining it in a different way so that we are on same page to understand Lakshmana's attitude here. A devotee is somebody probably who is, who wants to possess the Lord, who wants to own the Lord. A devotee's attitude. A disciple does not
want to be possessed, I mean, does not want to possess the Lord or Guru, but wants to offer himself as a belonging. Therefore, the definition of Shishya in Sanskrit is very beautiful. Shashanat Shishyate Anena Yaha Saha. The one who is willingly offering himself or herself to be disciplined. And disciplined constantly. There is one great Mahatma called Akhandanand Maharaj. I love his works. And after Gurudev, he is the one who shines. But he speaks always in pure Hindi. So he defines who is a guru. So in Hindi he says, "Jo hamesha gurrate rehta hai, wo guru hai." Somebody who is not there to be pampering the ego, but tampering with it, is scrubbing it thoroughly to clean it up. Jo hamesha gurrate rehta hai. So you go to a guru not to be pampered, but to be cleaned. No wonder why Gurudev used to say that Chinmay Mission is Jnana Ganga. So this is the only place that you can bring in your dirty linen. Though they say don't wash your dirty linen in public, they say this is one platform wherein you use it as a dhobi ghat. Wash yourself clean. So Shishya is somebody who is ready and willing to offer himself or herself to be completely disciplined, tuned. Whatever it takes to get to that perfection. Is there any artist or a painter or some fine art skills person here? Now, I'll not ask you of you anything. Just if you can relate to what I'm going to say. So if there is a sculptor, you know, sculpting on either stone or wood carving, you take a block of wood. And that block of wood, what do? You visualize a form. And then with the hammer and chisel, you start chopping off all the excess. Now, as the sculptor starts chopping the excess wood off, the piece of log would probably be hurt and say, "I don't know, pata nahi kahan se phas gaya iske paas. Why did I even come to this fellow? He's constantly chipping, he's constantly tearing me apart." And then finally, there is a rough shape that comes into picture. So he puts the hammer and chisel away. So the piece of log thinks, "Ha, good riddance with that thing. He has been hammering me with that for a while now." You think that was difficult? That was the easy part. What starts now is the finer details, and the finer details requires a lot of sandpaper. And when that sandpaper card starts rupturing, polishing, it has to go through the entire process finally to be worthy of setting it on an altar to be worshipped. Nothing less than perfection. So who is a Shishya? Who is ready to give himself or herself to become the master's piece? We love seeing masterpiece. Are we ready to become a master's piece? And Lakshmana here, he says, "I am ready." Therefore, he says, Prapannaha, I am taking refuge. Now, to such Lakshmana, Bhagavan Ramji must have been, looking at Lakshmana with lot of as a teacher, when you look at a student, there is such a pride in looking at the when the student asks the right question and with the right intensity comes for and asking. So there was a pride in his eyes looking at Lakshmana. And then he says, and this is observed by Bhagwan Shiva. Where did Shiva come from? Because this is being narrated by Bhagwan Shiva to Parvati. So he says, Shrutvattha Saumitri Vacho Khilam Tada. प्राह प्रपन्नार्ति हर प्रसन्नधीः विज्ञानमज्ञानतमः प्रशान्तये श्रुति प्रपन्नं क्षितिपालभूषणः Shrutva, having thus heard, Saumitri vachaha akhilam tada. See, that is the first good sign. You go back to again Bhagavad Gita. First chapter, it is loaded with 47 shlokas. There were 40 of those shlokas was the blabbering of Arjuna. Therefore, it is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. So, his Vishada, he spit it out in front of the Lord. And the amazing thing to observe is the patience with which Bhagavan allows Arjuna to open himself up. Wherein there are no prejudices, there is no preconceived notion. Though Bhagavan knew exactly what was happening with Arjuna, but he allows Arjuna to open up. That is the best part of the teacher, is he has to find that student, takes into that confidence and opens up with complete understanding. So he allows, here also Bhagavan Ramchandra ji allowed Lakshmana to open up. So they say there are two kinds of teachers. One is called the Marjala Kishora Nyaya. Marjala Kishora. Marjala Kishora. Marjala means a cat. I have never seen them in close proximity. Does anybody have pets, cats? No. Whenever those hairy things, cats and dogs, I get very itchy hives inside. So I avoid getting close. So they say that the cat carries its babies like almost consistently from one place to the other, one secure place to the second secure place. And it carries itself all over the place. The other one is called Markata Kishora Nyaya. This I have seen. The monkey, if you've seen the young ones, the mother monkey does not hold on to the baby monkey. Nature is so harsh that if that baby monkey loses its grip, mother monkey does not turn back to pick it up. It's on its own from then on. So it is whose job to hold on? So it is the baby's job to hold on to the mother. So there are certain gurus, they say that, you know, this is the highest standpoint. Take it or leave it. Even the children say, right? My way? My way or no way? This is the Markata Kishora Nyaya. Marjala Kishora Nyaya is when the guru comes down to our level, picks us up and moves us compassionately to the next level. Now here he is praha prapannarti haraha prasanna.
Lakshmana is prapanna and Bhagavan is prasanna. Now because Lakshmana is prapanna, Bhagavan is not prasanna.
It's not that he was waiting, you know, when will Lakshmana submit himself? That is when I'll be happy. No, that is not the meaning here.
Bhagavan is verily the incarnation of Bhagavan Vishnu and he is the expression of that Sukha Swarupa, Prasanna Swarupa. And he was more happy to see that Lakshmana has asked the right question.
Prapanna arti haraha prasannadhi. So who is Bhagavan? See, the student may surrender. What if the teacher is the one that you have turned to is not capable of saving you? So they say that Akbar and Akbar Birbal, they both are in the same court. Akbar, Tulsidas ji and Surdas ji, all three of them belong to the same era, same period. And Akbar hears that these two people are verily great souls, you know, realized. They are realized masters. He says, let me have darshan of them, let me. So he invites them to his palace. But then Akbar has this little worm, little khujli, kida inside. He wants to know which one of these two are greater. Which one of them is greater? Is Tulsidas ji greater or Surdas ji greater? So both of them are coming towards the palace. He asks Birbal. Birbal says, you know, they are realized masters. What is greatness? They both are great. But Birbal, Akbar is not satisfied with the answer. So he sets a mad elephant on course on the path, very path where both Tulsidas ji and Surdas ji were coming. Tulsidas ji stands there whereas Surdas ji runs away. So now Akbar decides Tulsidas ji is greater than Surdas ji. So Birbal is confused. He thought both of them are equals. They both are realized. So he goes to Surdas ji and says, what happened? He said, that is nothing, that's very simple to explain. When that mad elephant was coming at us, Tulsidas ji prayed to his Ishtadeva, which was Hanuman ji. And he took that Ugra Rupa to protect Tulsidas ji. Whereas my Ishtadeva is Balakrishna. And as I invoked that Balakrishna, Krishna Bhagavan came. And he looked at that elephant and then he turned towards me, jumped into my godi, into my lap and I said, Dadu Bhago! So I had to protect my Krishna. So you are turning to somebody, but that one to whom you are turning to, does he have it in him to protect? Therefore he says, Prapanna Arti Haraha. Bhagavan must have shown his abhaya. He said, okay, beta. Now that you have asked your question, I am really happy that you have asked this question.
Vijnanam ajnanatamah prashantaye.
Vijnanam ajnanatamah prashantaye.
That jnana, that knowledge, with which all darknesses of misconceptions can be removed. Shruti prapannam kshitipala bhushanam. Shruti prapannam kshitipala bhushanam.
Now to the one who is surrendered unto such Lakshmana, kshitipala bhushanam, the most serene of all the kings, in spite of going through such, how was he mentally? He had taken one of the most difficult decisions in his life. But yet from inside he was well balanced. So such balanced Ramji, accepting Lakshmana as his student, gives him, having been asked about, he gives him the knowledge. So Sri Ramachandra Uvacha. Bhagavan Ramachandra ji thus speaks. He says in the 7th shloka,
Adau Swavarna Ashrama Varnita Kriyah. Kritva samasadita shuddha manasaha. Samapya tat purva mupatta sadhanaha. Mupatta sadhanaha. Samashrayet sadguru matmalabdhaye.
So he says, Lakshmana, and this is given even in the Upanishads, wherein they say, Paran chikhani vyatruna swayambhuhu paran pasyati nattar atman.
But one has to realize that based on their own karma paripaka.
No, I have given too much of technical, I have to now translate it into understandable.
Paran chikhani vyatruna swayambhuhu paran pasyati na antaratman. How are the organs of perception action? They're designed to be outwardly. That which is designed to be outwardly, you try forcing it to be inwardly. Who will be frustrated?
Now when there is a child, what will the child do? What is it that they are interested in? There was this mother who came, who called me up and said, Swamiji, you should speak to my son. He is getting beyond control. He doesn't have focus. I don't know what he will do in life. I said, okay, bring him, I'll speak to him. And this mother comes and there is a 3.5-year-old, you know, walking around. So I said, did you call me about your child? He said, yes. Is it this child that you are referring to? I said, yes. So I gave the kid a handful of candies. I said, beta, you don't have a problem. You come inside, I'll have to sit with you. At 3.5, if this is the pressure that she is creating for herself, imagine what would happen later. Now at that age, balastavat krida saktaha. That is what is to be expected. That, you know, they'll be constantly extrovert. So what do you do with them, therefore? You have a separate environment wherein they can bring their entire rajasic nature out. So I've heard Guruji say this once. Swamiji, mera beta itni shaitani karta hai. So Guruji said, abhi kar lene do, bada hoke karega to achha nahi lagega. My son is so mischievous, I don't know what to do with him. So Guruji said, bear with him, because if he starts doing this kind of mischief when he grows up, it will not behove his age. So let him finish this vasana here itself. The indriyas are not meant for outside, I mean for inside, investigation. It is outside only. How do you understand this? That through these organs of perception action, nothing substantial can be gained. You can understand it when Varna ashrama varnitaha kriyaha krutva.
Whatever are the responsibilities according to your age, according to your time, according to your circumstances, fulfill all those responsibilities flawlessly. Many of us growing up, we look at the karma from the perspective that I would do something only if I like it. Why are you not doing it? Because I don't like it. But in our scriptures, the way they have defined responsibilities or actions to be performed, and Gurudev actually puts it very beautifully, he says, freedom is not to do what you feel like. The first time I heard it, like my whole head spun around. What? Come again? Freedom is to not do what you feel like. So what is this karma, the field of karma, field of responsibilities? Now, one thing to understood is, whenever there is responsibility, I'm yet to see a person who jumps up and says, glad I'm waiting for it. Let me get through it. Meaning Monday, every Monday, you get out of the house, you know, with eagerness. I was looking forward for Monday. Let me go work. We have what they call Monday blues. Weekend is already done. I have to go to the office again. Do I have to go? Monday blues. And it is not even through Tuesday or Monday, Wednesday morning. You already feel like... wish it was Friday. So that I go, wish it was. Thank God it is Friday. TGIF. Even when the children were young, simple things like, you know, they bring water or, you know, empty the trash can. And if you have two or three siblings at home, go. Why should I be the only one doing it? I did it last week. Now this week you tell the other, I'll not do it now. No. Give any responsibility to any age. The first reaction is to negate, avoid, shy away, run away. And then when it becomes almost inevitable that you cannot escape from it, when that pressure builds up, then we end up sulking, getting through it, and then make, you know, such an amazing statement people make. I'm yet to understand it completely, but they say, I think I work very good under pressure. You know, for all the Yuva Kendra members, we are teaching them Sanskrit. Ta, tha, da. You cannot. You say that you work so special, so good under pressure. If under pressure, what you have produced is X amount. Imagine if with balanced mind you could do it, it would be X times N. It will be never less than that. So first of all, we have resistance. And it almost is shoved into us that we don't have an... avenue to run out. Then we finally grumbling, come on, do it, finish it. And then say, khatam, I'm done with it. And when such experiences keep coming again and again and again, frustrated, how long will I have to do this again and again? Sometimes it takes a very funny note. And you have to be there to listen to it, to really cherish that statement at that moment. I'm having fun at somebody else's cost, but you will also like it when I say it. Out of utter frustration, sometimes I have heard the parents talk about their own child. Pata nahi kahan se paida ho gaya.
You better know. When it becomes beyond tolerable levels, you end up shouting in utter frustration. One thing is, you cannot avoid these responsibilities. Why are these responsibilities? These responsibilities' main purpose is so that I can grow out of my likes and dislikes. To grow out of my ragadvesha is the field of responsibilities. Fulfilling them meticulously helps me grow out, thus thereby cleaning up from within of all these layers of raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes. Kritva samasadita shuddha manasah. So why is karma yoga given? And people think that being married to your job is karma yoga. No. Many people conclude, Swamiji, my husband is karma yogi. He goes to job and he is dedicated there. You may be dedicated, but karma yoga, there are certain prerequisites to qualify it as karma yoga. Just because you ignore other responsibilities and focus only on your job doesn't make it karma yoga. So what is a karma yoga? In Upadesha Sara, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi puts it in very simple language. Ishvara arpitam nechaya kratam chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. Four compound words, he has explained entire karma yoga. And with such ease, such beauty that he explains. First, dedicate it to a higher altar. Higher the altar that you dedicate it to, higher is your inspiration. Ishwar arpitam. Nechaya kratam. Do it selflessly. Not with any selfish hidden motives, but do it selflessly. Sometimes people come into the mission and they said, when you look at it from outside, it looks very spiritual, you know, there's such good vibrations to mission. After 1 year of getting inside, you're disappointed. Why? Then they say, Swamiji, how can such things happen in Chinmay Mission? Politics! My answer to them is, Bhaiya, do you think that all those who have joined into the mission are coming directly from heaven? They're as good as you or as bad as me. They're like us. First. Second, who goes to a hospital? Who goes to a hospital? The person who needs treatment, right? Maybe they are not perfect. They are not in a perfect health. That they are the ones who go to hospital. Similarly, those who are in this, how can you expect perfection? They are in their process towards perfection. So if you are disappointed in finding that there is all imperfection everywhere, good for you, deal with it. There will be imperfections. But our job, if we understand our responsibility, is not to get caught up in those imperfections, but to use the environment so that I can grow. And in my growth, I can give hand to all those that I can reach out to find that peace and perfection in their own lives. But that platform has to be used first to purify oneself. Shuddha manasaha. Samapya tat purvam upatta sadhanaha samashrayet sadgurum atma labdhaye. Thus, having purified you reach to the Guru. It is not the other way around, that you reach to the Guru and say, dho mujhe. Come on, clean me up now. Gurudev, I have seen sometimes very bluntly, he would say, I have not taken the responsibility to clean up your diapers. Go clean it yourself. And he would be very blunt at it. Go finish that and then come, I'll show you the rest of the path. Otherwise, people come with such wrong expectations. And it comes out sometimes very funny also. There is this Amma who comes and she says, she takes my hand, okay? Put it on my head, Swamiji. I'm like hesitant. I said, no. I pull my hand out. And she again pulls it and says, put it on my hand. I said, what are you trying to achieve? So she says, all the positive vibrations, let it go inside. And let me be blessed with your positive vibrations. So I looked at her. If that were true, I would have had both my hands, both my legs on my own head. Why on your head? Each one for themselves to clean up their own mess. Shuddha manasaha, you have to find that process of equilibrium by fulfilling the responsibilities. There is no other way out of it. Then come to the Guru for the next. Otherwise they come and say, Swamiji, all this pravachan ravachan is okay. Do you teach meditation? Here is my card. You know, when you start teaching meditation, call me. Oh, Rama. And then do what? Meditation classes usually in the mornings. So from the horizontal, they come into a vertical position to continue what they were doing horizontally. I thought that was painful. One day there was this person who was sleeping and snoring, disturbing the others. What we call, in technical language, we call that as sound sleep. Sleep for yourself and sound for everybody around. So you're having sound sleep. I was getting very disturbed, this fellow. And he comes to me after the meditation class and he says, Swamiji, today's meditation class, fantastic! I felt like, why not? You were snoring away to glory. The rest of us had to face you. Today's mindset, we think for everything, there is one solution, meditation. We need to be qualified to get there. Just because it is, it seems like the easiest process. Close your eyes and then do what? I don't know. Why? Meditation. There is a seriousness to it. It cannot be trivialized. Samashrayet Gurum, having reached the Guru, the Guru will introduce to the next step. So what is that? That is said in the 8th shloka. Kriya shariroad bhavahe turadrata. Priya priyau tau bhavata suraginaha. Dharme tarau tatra punasharirakam. Punah kriya chakravadir yate bhavaha. Iti iryate bhavaha. This is how bhavaha is described. What is bhavaha? Samsara. we keep using that word very frequently. You ask somebody, "Kyun bhai, why did you not come to satsang?" What to tell you, Swamiji? Samsara. What is that answer? It is almost like similar to what the children here say. You say, "Why did you not come?" Or "Why did you do this?" "Just cause." "Huh? Just cause what?" "No, just cause." "I still can't understand that." "What were you doing?" "Stuff." "What were you doing?" "Stuff." I mean, they don't want to tell you further. You better not force ask anything further. And you still force. "No, but what?" "Nothing much." You must be experiencing taking your children from Balavihar back to home. You ask them, "What did you learn today in Balavihar?" "Not much." "Nothing." And it has to come with that. "Nothing." Because up until fourth grade or fifth grade, you have to plug their mouth. "Today, no, no, whole way back." You'll find them talking. After fifth grade, you have to use a crowbar, constantly pry out information out. You'd still be successful from the sixth, seventh grade. After that, nothing much. Whatever, same stuff. And that at least there is a monosyllable answer. After ninth grade, in ninth grade, what they call is called stare. Duh, have I ever answered your question? 11th and 12th grade, it is not a stare, it becomes a glare. "Come on, enough of it, back off." All that is read through in their Divya Drishti. So similarly, we also, coming to Vedanta class, we use some words. What to do, Swamiji? Prarabdha. Samsara. These are some of the very often used words. So who is a samsari? So effectively, while we are young, hold on to mummy sari. After age, then wife's sari. One sari after the other, so some sari. Another way to look at it, always feel awkward and some kind of sorry. Some sorry. No, sorry, serious level. Sorry. What does samsara mean? Bhavaha. Bhavaha, the root word is bhudhatu, to be. Bhavaha, to become. This itch to constantly become. What are we inspired to become? Various things. We constantly are focusing on trying to become something. Why are we forcing ourselves to become these different things? We are constantly experimenting. And in that experiment, we are trying to become various things. What am I expecting at the end result of all these experiments? First, a sense of peace within. Having thus acquired that sense of peacefulness within, being unshattered being inside. You're not fragmented. This sense of peace. In that platform, cherish some joyous moments of happiness. And this is universal. Everybody is looking for these two aspects. First, peace, and then happiness. And again, technical language, peace is dukkha nivritti, and happiness is sukha prapti. Now, if you look at it on the flip side, it'll make a better sense. Why peace and then happiness? Can you ever imagine yourself say or somebody say this statement and it makes sense that my mind is agitated, but I'm very happy? The mind has to be at peace for you to cherish happiness. It cannot be the other way around. But in anticipation of that peace and happiness, I start taking various roles, various shapes, various kinds of becomings. Without our choice, we are born into an environment. Having born into an environment, when are you at peace as a child? When you can get your parents off your back. So when do they get off? When you finish the homework, studies and other things. When you are goofing off with your whatever we used to play earlier. Today they play with only two thumbs. Xbox, Nintendo and other things. So when you are goofing off in those gadgets and your parents come and ask, have you done? Done. Off my back now. This is my earned time of... I'm done with my homework. I'm done with these things. So I become a student forcefully. So from that age to the next age, everybody is trying to grab other person's attention. This starts from 11, 12 years age. This is what we call the peer pressure, wherein everybody wants to look the most glamorous, attractive, interesting character. And in order to grab that attention, you are ready to do a lot of things. Now, one of the things is you have to blend well with the crowd. So everybody starts wearing all these brand names. It took me a while to memorize these names. Abercrombie. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I say it right? There's one more. Same. Starts with A. Aeropostal. And the best one that I like to pull those kids in that age is their brand name called Gap. There's more of Gap and less of cloth. Both boys and girls. Yeah. Because they start wearing clothes in a very peculiar fashion. Why do I need... He's not a Superman. Why do I need to see his underwear? I said, pull up your pants. No, that is fashion. You have to be in that... You start becoming whatever is the demand of that cool. Right from that age onwards, we are on a constant effort of becoming. Whatever is the role that comes, I want to become so that my aim is that I can be either happy or at least at be at peace. Constant goal, constant aim, constantly I'm driving myself. But over a period of time, we have become so many things. We're constantly changing these masks. We have become so many things. That each one of this becoming has left a tiny thread of attachment. Tying us down, binding us down. A very tiny one. When you look at it, that micro level of each attachment, it seems very insignificant. Have you read this book called Gulliver's Travels? How do you pronounce it? Gulliver, Gulliver? Gulliver? Okay.
So he finds himself on that seashore. And he finds these tiny little things walking on him. And he tries to pull himself. And they're tying him down with small thread. But they have tied him down with so many of these that he is unable to, you know, pull himself out. He's not able to, you know, get himself free. That is how we are. What is this bhava? The itch to become. We have become so many things and we have not closed. If you look at your computer, you know, if you use it, say with 5 windows or, you know, even 10 windows open, it can still work. You open, say, you know, 15, 20, 30 windows. One is running audio, one is running video, one is running this, one is running that. After a time, what will happen? It will slow down. And you still don't take care of it? It'll become crash. Before it becomes crash, it becomes freezes up. And then it crashes. Similarly, the CPU up here. So many hangovers of becoming that we have not closed effectively. That's another good word that in American language that I have picked. They call it closure. They use it in a different term, different. With every experience, we do not have a perfect closure. We have all these windows popped up open in there. And they are all consuming a lot of space inside. So effectively, when you have to pay your attention, how are you? Dazed out. Huh? There's so many things that I've already consumed. So that is what is being explained here. He says, Kriya Shariirod Bhava Heturadrata Priya Apriyau Tau Bhavatas Su Raginaha. Raga is attachment. As much as we are attached to things that we like, we are equally attached to things that we don't like. We call that as dislike, but it is another format of attachment. I like to dislike that thing. There are likes and dislikes. Now, what do these likes and dislikes do? They act as hindrances in performing and fulfilling our responsibilities efficiently. Now, when you have something as a personal like and dislike, it doesn't matter what you like or what you don't like. As long as it does not block you from fulfilling your responsibilities. The moment you see responsibilities, what consumes us from inside? Our likes and dislikes. I don't know, do I have to do this? I don't know, I've been doing this for a while. Another American word that I love is, I've been doing this for a while and now I feel burnt out. I think I need to change my line. Line of profession. I need to find a newer avenue. You may try. There is one amazing movie, if you want to watch, even with the high school kids, you can watch it. It's called Groundhog Day. How many of you have watched it? It's an amazing karmic influence shown. Please watch it. You may try avoiding it now here. But over a period of time,
over a period of lives, you will end up exactly in the same environment again and again and again. How long? As long as you don't learn from that situation and grow out of it, that long you will keep repeating in the same environment. See, when people come for counseling, nowadays it has reduced because my angle of approach has been this, especially between husband and wife. They say, you know, he said, she said, I don't like it, you know, we want to divorce. So I tell them this, you know, finish it off in this life. Do you want to repeat each other next life also? Buckle up. Understand what the issues are and transcend them together rather than avoiding each other. Because if you're not going to face it now, and probably that is why in Hindi they say, Saat janmon ka hota hai rishta. That is just a teaser. After seventh, what will happen? You'll get used to it. How long will this whole thing get repeated? As long as it takes for us to perfect and grow out of it. Another example that can be taken for us easily to understand karma is, have you ever played these video games? Specifically the one called, you know, something like Angry Birds. Have you played? How many of you have not played any of such? Ek bar khelo. Play it once. Why? You'll understand my example better. You don't get to the next level until you cross this level with a certain score. Why is this happening to me? Why am I not going forward? Pay attention, get a better score and move forward. It is in your hands. Right? Similarly is life. You want to play this game of life? Score well so that you can move past transcending each experience. Instead, we keep creating these tiny fragments of threads, attaching ourselves, various things. As you sit for, you know, upasana, puja and dhyana, that is when we start realizing we have created such amazing layers. As you peel, they keep popping up. You'll be surprised. You don't need external entertainment. You don't need soap operas. I heard many Indian houses, they're hooked onto these Indian soap operas. What is it? Saas bhi kabhi. Bahu thi. What for? You close your eyes, there is enough entertainment up here. I'm talking one's own head. Yes, Swamiji, observe, keep observing my husband. Quite an entertainment. One's own. Bhava is right here. And these attachments have to be dharmetarau tatra punasharirakam punakriya chakravadiryate. Now this likes and dislikes creates the layers of dharma and adharma, righteous and unrighteous. Because that which you like may or may not be in the righteous field. So therefore, what do you do? Ena kena prakarena. However which way, I need to fulfill it and need to fulfill it right now. Therefore, it's okay. Once. It starts always with once. And dharma and adharma gets created. With dharma and adharma, papa and punya. So the becoming becomes so intense
that at a level wherein we reach to constantly trying to dodge all the papa and whatever little scraps of punya that we can grab. We try putting effort in only balancing life in terms of papa and punya. Therefore, if you see people interested in an event wherein you promote that event as establishing and increasing your punya, this space will not be sufficient. This space, I'm not talking of this little hall, this whole mall will not be sufficient. Where you talk about something very inquisitive about self-improvement. So I was in Barnes and Nobles. I was searching for some book which was supposed to be in that self-help area. It was not available, the title. So I go to this girl and say, I've been searching for this book. So I said, you should find it in the self-help aisle. So I said, I was there. Can you help? Then she came back with such a smart answer. She said, if I did, then the aisle wouldn't serve its purpose, right? So I said, go figure. She came back later to help. The whole effort becomes in removing papa and increasing punya. Again, it's a feel-good factor. I went to temple today, earned punya point. I gave somebody another punya point. So constantly invoking in punya points and papa points. But that's not all life. There's much more to life. But we are stuck in this chakra vadiryate bhavaha. Chakra mein phas gaya. The cycle of karma. Karma leading to likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes leading to righteous, unrighteous. Righteous, unrighteous leading to papa, punya. And caught up in that papa, punya cycle. Vadhiryate bhavah. So what is the main reason for this entire bhava? From this shloka on, it starts getting serious. The introduction part is done. So in the 9th shloka it is said, Ajnanamevasya hi moola karanam. तद्हानमेवात्र विधौ विधीयते विद्यैव तन्नाश विधौ पटीयसि न कर्म तज्जं सविरोधमीरितम् The basic flaw is, I mean, how many of you have gone through the book called Self-Unfoldment? Okay, if you have gone through the book called Self-Unfoldment through study group and that process, there's one classic question that we all come nailing down that book saying, I found the flaw in this book. Everybody is elated the day they find that particular logic. The question that pops up, it's most frequently asked question, is
what is the cause of ignorance?
Karma we perform because of vasana. And vasana is existing because of karma. In the very beginning, when the creation got created, what was it? Karma or vasana? The answer is neither. It is their root cause.
mother of all misery and discontentment is ignorance. And when we talk in Vedanta about ignorance, ignorance is not about science or math or economics, or it is not the ignorance of something. Ignorance of knowing one's own identity. So today when you lose your credit cards, they call it identity crisis. I said, that is not identity crisis, it's a bigger identity crisis. We don't realize who we are. There is this small experiment. When somebody asks, who are you? What is your answer? Very normal answer, there is no trick question here. And somebody says, who are you? What is your answer? You say your name. If I have to get the answer of your name from you, what should be my specific question? What's your name? I didn't ask you that. Who are you? And you say, I am father of so and so. Did I ask? Kiske baap ho? No. Or mother of so and so, sister of so and so, brother of so and so. I don't even ask, what are you in relation to whom? Who are you? And I say, I'm a human being. Did I ask? What species are you? I'm a Homo sapien. Did not ask that. All these earlier answers which have been given are substantiated by something. But that which is not all these that we have become. Not knowing that, we start dabbling into various things that which we are not. And then the mind is quite an intelligent one. He says, if I can't find that permanent happiness at the end of every day, if I take various experiences and each experience has some tiny amount of joys, the sum amount of all these joys, does it make me content? It does make you content as long as you have somebody else to compare it with. I am more content than my husband, therefore I am happy. I am more content than my neighbor, therefore I am happy. See, wherever there is comparison, it leads to competition. And competitions leads to jealousy, confusion, and various such. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsara, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. I can go on. Multitudes of such layers start developing. So, ajnana, not knowing. If a space is dark, how do you remove that darkness? Simple, non-trick question. To remove darkness, what do you do? Make sure that there is source of light and it is on. If I try bringing, say, a very powerful bleach and sprinkle into that darkness. I'm just imagining here, okay, go along with me. It may look crazy, it is crazy. If somebody says, I'll bring a very powerful bleach and put it on this darkness overnight in the morning, darkness will be gone, bleached out, and there will be light. Can it be? Or, I'll buy a very powerful vacuum cleaner to suck all the darkness out. See, even he laughs at my example. He knows what is he talking. To remove darkness is a simple process. Light, because that where there is light, there cannot be darkness. I was trying to explain this concept to Balviar kids in 11th, 12th grade. And this kid says, he puts his hand. He says, there is light, you know, and there is darkness. You just made a statement that where is there is light, there cannot be darkness. In fact, darkness exists only when there is light. I said, good argument, but you cannot change my proposed hypothesis. I still stand by my statement that where there is light, there cannot be darkness. If you can show darkness, it means there is no light. So when you're talking about this shadow here and light here, from the standpoint of this shadow, there is no light there. In that where there is light, there can never be darkness there. Similarly, if ignorance is the basic root cause of all our becoming and samsara, or our each at individual level, vyashti, samsara, tad hanam eva atra vidhau vidhiyate. Destruction of this ajnana is the only solution. And how do you remove the ajnana? With jnana. Therefore, Upanishads have always been saying, jnanat evatu kaivalyam. It's only with knowledge that the ignorance can be removed. Vidya eva tan nasha vidhau patiyasi. Na karma taj. Not by karma. Why? Karma is the result of ignorance. And that which is the result of ignorance cannot be used to remove ignorance. That which is caused by ignorance, which is karma, you use that karma to remove. Does it make even a logical sense? Though it does not make any logical sense, but that is exactly where we as human beings are caught up. As soon as this pravachan is done, what is the next rush? Oh, that is our issue. I'm talking about the generic. Get into the car, just before getting into the car, anyway here, buy something if the shops are open. And then go home and then get to... Why? The next layer of planning has to be done. The itch of karma is so strong that to sit quietly without movement is as impossible as finding a monkey on a tree sitting quietly. I'm sure you have gone to a zoo. Have you ever seen a monkey sitting? No. As if its itch is not sufficient, it'll pull another monkey and start pulling all. Our mind is equally like that. Constantly. And this karma cannot be used to remove that ignorance. So what does it effectively mean? A very powerful statement, take home message today. Through karma, meaning by performing various kinds of karma, you can never ever be happy. First statement. Second, through karma, you can never ever remove ignorance or the impact of it. Go home, think. Very powerful statements. If these two statements are understood, 90% of our lives imagined sorrow is removed just by the understanding of these two sentences. What is the first statement? You can never ever find happiness through karma. Second, through this karma, you can never ever remove ignorance or the impact of ignorance. So what should we do as sadhana? See, that is where we are caught up again. All that we talk about spirituality and is again a process of doing. Doing, as long as it is involved, it will not remove that layer of avidya. Not understanding this, not doing, we get into an apathetic state. And that is where the whole Indian mindset is. Because of half-digest philosophy. We have come so far, but it is not digested well. Therefore, it reflects out as apathy. It is their prarabdha, what can I do? Anyway, karma will not give me happiness. Why should I involve myself? It is their karma, their effect. No, I don't need to. There is such a lethargic pattern, inertia set in because of wrong understanding of this. So there's two statements that I made. Karma can never give happiness. And through karma, avidya can never be removed. Then Lakshmana says, pull the fast one, you pull the entire rug out of my feet, under my feet. I was standing with the very force of my karma, my ability to do. And you pull that one away, my whole existence is now shaken up. So therefore he asks a question. So Lakshmana says he'll ask the question tomorrow. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.